Hello, welcome back to another week of the Multifaceted Athlete. This is episode 5 in the February Eating Disorders series. If this is your first time listening to the series, we do talk about eating disorders, so trigger warning if that's difficult to listen to, maybe wait until March, come back to the podcast. But this series I created to share stories from those who have struggled with an eating disorder to hopefully create more awareness and encourage others to share their own stories and to help those who are currently struggling feel less alone, because our stories are unique in what we went through, but going through an eating disorder is not unique. So the more we talk about it, the less power we give it. Today, I had my friend from college, Erin, on to share her story, and we didn't know that each other was struggling at the time when we met in college, which is kind of funny because we were both going through it. Same time, same place, and now, you know, many years later, we have started to talk about it. So Erin goes through how her eating disorder started, when it peaked, how she is now, and yeah, it's a good conversation. So without further ado, enjoy Erin's story. All right, welcome back to another episode of our February Eating Disorder series. Today I am joined by Erin, who actually went to college with me. So Erin, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's funny because listening to your episode last week, I don't know when this is coming out, but I was thinking about, like, we were going through the same thing at the same time at the same place.
Yeah, I know. When we were just talking before this, you mentioned college. I was like, I had no inkling that you were struggling with anything.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I assume if you were like me, you're probably in the depths of yourself and not realizing anything about anything around you.
Yeah. Also, I think that, you know, the desire to hide things like eating disorders from people, there were probably a lot of people around us that had them and we had no idea. So,
yeah, it's true. And so for the listeners, I realize you have no context. Erin and I worked together at the rec center. So basically the gym on campus. So that was mostly when we saw each other. And I feel like when you don't see someone's entire day every day, it's very easy to hide that you're struggling with something.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the rec center was just a lot of fun. So I feel like there wasn't any discussion of horrible things. So there was a lot of eating.
There was. But I know that was probably another factor that contributed to us not knowing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, for the listeners, can you give them a brief intro, who you are, kind of some background, and then we'll dive into your story.
Yeah. So my name's Erin. As Kelly said, we went to college together. So I grew up playing lots of sports, middle school, high school, played field hockey, soccer, you name it, all year round. And then college, not so much, which sure we'll get into. And then reconnected with Kelly when I started running in 2020 and ran my first ultra in 2021. And yeah, the rest is history. When I'm not running, I'm an ER nurse educator, so, which is ironic because I know the health side of all of this now. But
yeah, but back then you weren't working in the ER, so.
No, I was not. I was in business school, so.
I actually didn't know that either.
Yeah. Went to school for international business. Oh. And then went back to school.
What did you want to do with that?
I wanted to do marketing very specifically for the Peace Corps. Like nothing else. Oh. That was it. That was the only job I wanted. And then I spent a summer in Ghana and I wanted to do the work, not market for other people to do it. And so that's why I switched.
That makes sense. Yeah. So what made you reach out to want to share your story? Because I know you haven't shared it with many people. Similar to me, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I think You posted requesting people to share, and I just immediately was like, yeah, absolutely. And then as soon as I sent that, I was like, oh no, what did I do? And I think it was just, I feel like the more that we share struggles that we've had in our life, the more it helps other people to share and hopefully helps them to recover or just feel like their struggles are not, they're not alone. They're not the only ones going through things. And I think it's important to normalize talking about stuff. I think our generation is getting better at it. I think the younger generation is even better at it than we are. But I don't know. I think that in the past, so many things have been stigmatized. And so hopefully by sharing, it will help people.
That is my hope too with this series. So let's dive into your story. When did everything start? And was there like any lead up to it that wasn't quite like, I'm struggling, or I'm not struggling yet, but like these occurrences or instances maybe contributed to the start of the struggles?
Yeah. So it definitely, I would say the peak was like sophomore year of college, was when it really started. So I struggled with bulimia, and talking to my mom last week. So for listeners that don't know, I told my mother last week that I had an eating disorder. She didn't know. I never told people. So, but we're talking about kind of when it started and what led up to it. And I can remember even back to when I was 6 years old in gymnastics thinking all these other girls are so much smaller than me. And part of that was I was really tall. Like I was 5'4" going into high school. And so even at 6 years old, I'm taller than all of them. I just had a bigger build. And looking back at pictures, it's ridiculous that I thought that. But so I kind of had that mindset all through growing up, just like feeling like my friends were smaller than me. And then high school, I was really, really active. Like junior year, played field hockey, was training for a triathlon, like would wake up before school, work out, after school, work out. And so I was really fit. And then senior year of high school, I got injured. I broke my ankle and then got a stress fracture in my foot and couldn't work out for like 6 months. So going into college, I already think I was kind of uncomfortable with how I looked. And then freshman year of college, gained like the freshman 20. I was going to parties. I was eating junk. It was like there were no parents. There was no control. And I played club ultimate frisbee, but I was not lifting weights. I wasn't working out like I used to. So I gained weight like pretty fast freshman year of college, I would say. To the point where I will never forget this. The neighbor that lived across the hall from me, I doubt he'll listen to this, but I lived in the athlete's dorms. I don't know why I wasn't an athlete. So my building was like the football team, the baseball team, I think some of the women's softball or something. And the guys that lived across the hall from me were three of the football players. And one of them asked my roommate if I was pregnant freshman year because I had gained weight.
Oh my God.
And that has stuck with me because that's horrible. Like, I feel like unless you're absolutely positive somebody is pregnant, you should never ask them if they're pregnant. Like it never ends well. Just don't do it. As someone who works in healthcare and has to ask people that, like, just don't do it. So I feel like that was definitely a turning point because I was like, wow, other people now think I'm fat. Cool. I was already feeling that way myself. And so, yeah, sophomore year, I've always loved food. I don't have the ability to just like eat less. I mean, I do, but at the time, especially, it was a self-control issue. And so I was like, well, like, I'm not going to eat less. That's a struggle. But I could just throw up what I eat and then I won't gain weight because I'm not actually digesting it, which is not totally how that works. But that was the mindset.
Yeah, I think a lot of us had that mindset back then of like, that's what bulimia is and that's why you would choose to do it. None of us knew better, I should say, back at that age. Definitely. I mean, some of us don't know better now too.
Yeah,
and same with the comment. I feel like it's so common that someone's just like toss away comment sticks with us for so long. They don't even realize it, I'm sure. It's just like something they said offhand. And for us, it's like, oh, just like you're saying, like, oh, people see me this way when I see myself this way. And now it like confirms that what I thought was actually a problem kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think the other part of it too is, and you talked about this last week on your episode, was growing up, like the shows that we watched really beautified people, especially like high school and college age kids. Like I watched the Gilmore Girls a lot and Seventh Heaven, and they were all like very thin, stereotypically pretty people for that time. And so you go to college and you think it's going to be this great experience with all these good looking people. And when you don't feel that way, and when people are telling you you don't look that way, then I feel like you're willing to try anything to be like one of those people. So
yeah, I think especially in the like the first year of college, because most of us haven't lived outside of our home, it's our first time away from home, we don't have friends probably, like we're trying to make friends, we're trying to figure out what to do with the rest of our life. And you were obviously in international business, which isn't what you ended up doing. None of us really, few of us, I should say, end up doing what we thought we would going into college. But yeah, that, I think unfortunately, that's probably not uncommon as a starting point.
Yeah, I think kind of that like high school, college age. I think just in general, especially, I don't want to say that guys don't go through stuff because they definitely do. And our phones definitely listen to us because like male eating disorders have popped up on my Instagram in the last like week. But I think just high school is hard for girls. And then I think that we say that it gets better in college. And I think it does at a certain point, but I don't think it's right away. I think the first couple of years of college are hard. Because you're right, you move away, you're trying to make friends, you're like trying to get good grades and have a social life and still, yeah. And going from being an athlete that played sports all year round. I mean, I played field hockey fall, winter, spring, and went to field hockey camp in the summer. Like it was my entire life was being in shape for that. And then to go to college and all of a sudden just stop. Like, that was probably not good.
Yeah. I think that is also a really common struggle going from, you know, college sports. If you're playing for the college, obviously they're a lot more selective. And obviously they are like, there are intramural sports, but it's just, it's not the same as in high school and middle school and growing up and just like being on a team and even just having, you know, your teammates who are your friends who you're always around. Then going to college and it's like, what do I do now? Who am I? And just figuring that out. I also wonder, did you hear a lot of rhetoric around like the freshman 15 before going to school? Because I remember that was a thing.
I heard a ton. Yeah. I heard a ton. And I'm trying to remember if in college I had a scale in my dorm.
Oh, that's a good question.
I feel like freshman year, I don't think I did. But I think I did at a certain point, like sophomore or junior year, I think I did buy one, and that was probably horrible. And I've learned since then that like having a scale for me is not good. I can't remember if I told you this, but I told my mom last week. Last week I was like, oh, I should weigh myself. Like I haven't done that in a while. I'm just curious. And then I thought about it, like, why? Like, what am I going to learn from that? I already know I'm not going to like the number. And so what's it going to do other than ruin my day? Like, why do I need to know? My clothes fit, I'm running, like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so I think that like, yeah, plays a big role, like being told you're going to gain the freshman 15. And then when you do, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. And on top of that, I feel like wherever I heard it, probably, I'm guessing it was mostly like magazines is where I got it from. But they made it sound like the worst thing that could happen to you in college, you know?
Yeah, they really did. They really dramatized it. And I think even if you are like a super active college athlete, your body is changing at that point. Like you're kind of finishing up puberty still. And so especially as a woman, like you're getting hips and you're getting boobs, like you're getting all these things that you're going to gain weight. Like, it's horrible. I was listening to a podcast recently that was talking about how humans like struggle to lose weight because we're not supposed to be super thin. We're the only mammals that have to have like a certain body fat percentage in order to reproduce. And so we constantly are fighting our own like natural bodies.
So, yeah, that makes sense. I hope that for future generations, that's more of common knowledge and not what we grew up with.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I look at like, I think female fitness models and things like that, I think they're doing a better job showing different body types now. But I remember seeing women that had like 8% body fat and I don't know this statistic for sure, but I think it's around like 12% or so. Anything below that, like you can become infertile as a female. And that's terrifying. And that's what we were aiming to look like. It's like, but that's not good.
Yeah, it was definitely the time of like Jillian Michaels.
Yep.
I feel like she ruined a lot of lives.
I did her yoga every morning before school in high school.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, at least yoga is like
the
gentle movement, not some of her other stuff.
I mean, it was really hard yoga.
I believe that, knowing her.
Not what I do now. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, bedtime yoga. Ooh, there's blankets and pillows involved. Perfect.
Yeah, that sounds like a better yoga. So once you started struggling in college, how long did it last?
I feel like I feel like it lingered for a while. So like I said, sophomore year was definitely like the peak. And I think it was my roommate at the start of junior year actually called me out on it.
Oh, good.
And she was like, so you're the other bulimic on the floor. And I was like, what? How did you know? And she goes, because I am also one and I just recognize the habits. And she was very observant.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I knew there was someone else. It took me a while to figure it out, but now I know. So, and then I think like senior year, I started working out more. I started eating better. I guess I like started adjusting to college life. I had my plan for the future to go to nursing school and do all that. And so I was definitely not throwing up as much, but I think I still held on to like, if I ate a really bad meal or something, or Ben and Jerry's has always been my weakness. Like if I ate a pint of ice cream, then I would like revert back because I'm like, okay, ate healthy all day, but then I ate this and like this I need to get rid of, which again, not how that works. But and that kind of stuck around, trying to think, like, I don't know, up until probably like my running journey, it was on and off. But I also think when I graduated college, Netflix turned me vegan. So I had been vegetarian since I was 12, because I just loved animals and hated the idea of eating them.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated college, I watched a bunch of documentaries.
Classic.
That's how it starts. Yeah.
That's how it starts.
And switched to veganism and haven't gone back. And so doing that unintentionally, and I think because I also moved home and was more intentional with eating, I lost like 10 pounds in a month. And it was not like I wasn't even trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
And so then at that point, I was feeling better. I found friends to work out with. I was going to the gym, eating healthy. And so it wasn't an issue during that time. I think it, like, when it would come back was during times when I wasn't able to exercise for whatever reason. And then it never, like, I never fully reverted. It was in those times when, like, I would eat a bad meal or I'd eat more ice cream than I thought I should.
Yeah.
Then it was like I had to get rid of that specific thing versus everything.
That makes sense. In college, once you found out that your roommate had similar struggles, was that helpful or harmful, or like how was that? Neutral?
Honestly, yeah, neutral. She made that comment and it was just kind of like, I've been caught. Like,
yeah.
Somebody knows. But also, she wasn't a judgmental person, and she also wasn't someone that was going to be like, don't do it, or like, you need help, or I'm going to call your mom, or like,
yeah.
She just kind of stated it as like, oh, okay. And so I don't think it changed like either of our behaviors. And maybe looking back, like we could have helped each other, but at the time it was more like a matter of fact. And then she actually ended up transferring at the end of that semester. So,
oh.
Not because of that.
Yeah, for other reasons.
Hofstra is expensive without scholarships.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else during the times you were struggling that said anything to you?
The only other thing that I – no one made comments about, like, knowing what was going on, which is, like I said, I'm kind of surprised that I hit it as well as I did. Like, I was always freaking out that somebody was going to find out. And I did not want that because that's embarrassing. But also, I don't know. I didn't want to stop. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to be skinny. I didn't want to stop. But I remember, I think it was probably sophomore year. My mom had made a comment like, oh, wow, you've lost weight. Like, you look great. And I remember thinking if she knew how I lost the weight, like she would not be proud of me right now. Like the way I'm doing this is not good. And I know it's not good. And I hope she doesn't find out. And I remember having that thought at the time. Like I knew at the time what I was doing was not healthy. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I cared about other things more.
Mm-hmm.
So that comment has stuck with me because I remember thinking like I'm letting her down.
Aww.
But
yeah, I feel like that's so tough because I think with a lot of our stories, if there is weight loss involved, a lot of us have gotten recognition, positive recognition for that. And that just kind of feeds what we're doing even more without obviously, like you said, your mom didn't know, like people who make comments about people looking good don't know why they look good. So it can be a really slippery slope if someone is struggling. And the other thing I wanted to say is I feel like I could be wrong because I never struggled with bulimia, but I feel like that version of an eating disorder is easier to hide in some ways because you typically are eating more quote unquote normally, like when you're around people. And then the behavior afterwards is a problematic one versus like when I was restricting, it was like I didn't want to eat with people. So it's more obvious. But then again, not many people noticed in my situation either.
Yeah. I mean, I think with bulimia, it's like, are you always going to the bathroom after a meal? Like people start to potentially notice that. Yeah, I don't know. It's not something I've ever really thought about. But there have been other times in my life, like my, I think my whole family, my extended family, like is very much weight focused and always has been and struggles with weight. And so there was a time when we had talked about like, oh, let's do like a weight loss competition as a family, and like whoever loses like whatever percentage or like meets their goal or whatever wins the money, and we'll each put in like $5 or something. And I remember my uncle saying, well, that's going to encourage somebody to get an eating disorder. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, too late. Which, you know, not really funny, but also I think you have to be able to like laugh at the, I don't know, laugh at the traumatic things in life, or else it's just sad. So we did not do that.
That's good. I'm honestly surprised that anyone made that comment. So kudos to your uncle.
Yeah.
For that awareness. But
I had been I kind of forgot about this when you asked me kind of the start of my journey. I was doing diets like through high school. I was on the Mediterranean diet on and off through high school, and looking back, I'm like, I played so many sports. Like, I probably could have eaten everything and been fine. But, you know, being 5'7", 5'8", like, you're not a size zero. You're never going to be a size zero unless you're like Taylor Swift. But I was so determined because like I couldn't share clothes with some of my friends. And so I always felt bigger, even when I was definitely not. Like, I was proportional. I was just very tall. So I started dieting probably like, I don't know, sophomore year of high school.
Did you start dieting with the intention of getting smaller, or was there another intention?
I think it was getting smaller. And it was also like when the Mediterranean diet came out.
It had a moment.
It did. It had a big moment. And my mom and I actually did it together pretty much every time. And so we're like our support buddies for dieting, which now, I don't like any restrictive diets. Maybe that's because I'm vegan and my diet's already restricted.
But yeah, there's like not much more restricting you could do to the vegan diet, especially as a runner.
Yeah, no, I love my carbs. Don't ever take those away again.
Yeah, no, they're very necessary. So then in the time between college afterwards, when it was on and off and before you started your running journey in 2020, was there ever a point where you're like, I need to change something?
Yes and no. I definitely had the thought of like, okay, I should just like portion things out and then this won't be an issue. Like, if I don't feel guilty because I ate too much of something, like I won't feel this way if I can just control portions. And I just, I struggled with that. So even to this day, like, I don't really go out and buy a pint of ice cream anymore because I know that I don't have the self-control. Like, there are times, don't get me wrong, where it's like, okay, I can like put some in a bowl and be good. But usually if I'm like eating sweets like that, it's because I'm stressed. And so I'm going to like stress eat the whole thing and then feel horrible about myself. So I found like if I don't keep stuff like that in the house, and like I keep going back to ice cream because I feel like that's been the biggest struggle for me. Like if I want it, I'll go out somewhere and get like a cup, which I know financially is not the best option.
Yeah.
But mental health and eating disorder wise, like I found that's what works for me. Like I need to just have that portion control already set up for me. And like chips and stuff like that, that's not been my thing. It's always been sweets. And so if I just don't keep them around, then it's not, not an issue.
We all have the foods that are that to us.
Yeah, for sure. After ultras, I don't care. I'll eat that pint of ice cream.
But oh, yeah. I mean, especially
on the daily.
Yeah. Especially with the ultras you're running. For listeners, Erin is training for a 100-miler this year.
Yeah, I will eat whatever the heck I want after that.
Yeah.
And during.
Hopefully you have an appetite.
Yeah, I will.
That'll be the biggest struggle, I feel like. So then once you started running, how would you say like your relationship with food and everything was at that point? And how did it, was it intertwined with running at all or anything like that?
So it's funny. I feel like running has had different effects. Like it's almost a push-pull kind of situation. Because you look at professional runners and they're very thin.
Yep.
And that is not a body type I've ever had. I think you and I have talked about this before of just like, we've never looked at like stereotypical runners. Like I will never have a thigh gap. I will never wear short shorts because that just does not work for me.
Yeah.
And so there is that like mindset of, well, I don't look like that. Would I be faster if I did?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. But I also feel like there's that other side of it that like I'm eating to fuel my running. I'm running a lot. Training Peaks tells me my stress level is high. Like I need to eat. And so I think there's been that shift in the focus of eating. And I've even noticed like when I'm training, my diet changes because I'm eating specifically for training versus like eating just to eat. And I know that I'm exercising consistently and like a good amount. And so I don't think about that as much. Like I will eat junk food and not feel bad about it because I know that I'm going to go run 10 miles or something the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been good in both ways. And something that stuck with me that you said last year, actually, you probably don't even remember saying this, but for those of you listening, Kelly's a really good influence on people. But you said if you're losing weight during training, you're not eating enough. Like if you are training hard, you need to be fueling. And if you're consistently losing weight, you're under fueling. And I was like, huh. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Like a lot of people run to lose weight.
Yeah.
But if you're like consistently losing weight every week while you're training, eventually you're going to burn out. Mm-hmm. Like you're not, your body is not going to be able to handle the training load and you're going to get hurt or you're like
red ass.
Yeah. And so,
something like that.
Yeah. So that has really stuck with me. I'm like, if I gain weight, like, yeah, I don't want to gain weight, but it like weight always fluctuates. And so at certain points of training, maybe I'll weigh more, certain points I'll weigh less, but like I need to eat when I'm hungry. My body is telling me I need nutrients. And honestly, some of it is probably muscle. Like, so yeah, I try to focus more since I started running on the fueling aspect and then like, do my clothes still fit? Like, has that changed versus what's the number on the scale?
Yeah, I think that's a much healthier approach. I'm glad that stuck with you. I don't remember saying that, but I like vaguely remember. I remember making statements about it before. And I think especially because, like you're saying, a lot of people start running to lose weight. And that's very different than the running you're doing and I'm doing, which is we want to perform. So it's like sometimes I'll ask myself, okay, would I rather look a certain way, weigh a certain weight, or would I rather perform better regardless of, you know, what my body looks like or how much I weigh? Because like I think you're the same as me, we want to perform at our best. And
yeah,
if that means we weigh more, look different than we thought we would, then okay, cool, I'm performing, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even so yesterday I skinned up to Camp Muir, which for people that aren't familiar with that, it's on Mount Rainier. And it's about 10 miles round trip and around, I think it's a little over 4,000 feet of elevation gain. But it's a long day. It took us 5.5 hours and we didn't really stop. Like we were trying to get up there before the gate would close to get out of the park. And so like we were fueling as we were going. And at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I had a goo and half a protein bar and a peach cup.
Like, oh my gosh,
that is not enough food. And I know that because when I run, it's like every half hour to an hour, like I need to eat something. And coming down, like, I was so tired. Like, I would have felt so much better. And I've noticed the more that I've trained and the more that I've focused on eating for training, I feel better when I eat more. Like, I know that's how our bodies work and that's what they need. And so, yeah, I don't really think about the other stuff as much anymore, which is good. And I eat so much junk on runs.
They're sometimes the best fuel because we want the quick carbs and the quick energy. So yeah.
Waffles are delicious.
Waffles are delicious. They're my very good fuel.
I was on a road trip somewhere with my parents last time they came out to visit, and my dad was like, I'm really hungry. I'm like, well, go through my snack bag. And he ate like half of one and then looked at the nutritional contents and he goes, oh my God, do you know what's in these? And I was like, well, yeah, I eat them when I'm running. And he's like, they're like 400 calories and like 50 grams of sugar. I'm like, well, yeah, I eat them when I'm running, Dad. He goes, oh my God, I just ate that like as a little snack. Okay. Again, anybody can look at food the way that we negatively look at food.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's very ingrained in our society, especially towards women, unfortunately. Yeah.
I do. I think about like the menus now having calorie counts on them.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I have such mixed feelings because like to an extent, I think we all should like try to eat healthier and more balanced. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that putting calories on menus is the way to do that. I think that just gives people negative thoughts versus like people know, you know, a salad is probably healthier than eating fettuccine Alfredo every meal. You don't need to see the calories to kind of know that. So you're going to order what you were going to order anyway. You're just going to feel worse about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Or you might change what you were going to order and not get what you actually want just because you saw a number.
That too. I would personally order what I want to order and then feel bad about it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it either, especially because calories doesn't tell you too much, you know?
No. Yeah, there's so much more to food than just calories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where would you say you are in relation to food, struggling, body image, all of that stuff now?
Food wise, I would say now I pretty much, I don't know. Like I said, I still don't really keep junk food in the house. Like I think right now I have chocolate chips and that's it. And that's sad. But I actually might go get ice cream after this because I've been craving it for a couple days.
Yeah, after your
Yeah. But I still like, I really don't keep that stuff in the house. Just, I don't know. I think it's always kind of a mental struggle. Like once you've been there, I think it's always in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I have come to terms with like, okay, if I am craving certain things, my body might be telling me like I need a certain nutrient. So I try to focus on that too. Like if I'm craving those like high carb, high sugar foods, my body is probably like, you just worked out really hard. Like give me something that is like high calorie and restoring sugar stores and that sort of stuff. So I try to think more about that side of it and like, what is my body trying to tell me with whatever craving I'm having? And that's been really helpful. Body image. I don't know. I kind of go back and forth with that.
Yeah.
When I broke up with my ex, I purposely left my scale at his house because I was like, I don't want this in my life anymore. Like, yeah. I don't want to weigh myself. And I also knew that that was going to be a particularly hard time. And so I really didn't want a scale in my house during that because, you know, revenge body is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him texting me like a month later and being like, hey, I found your scale. Do you want that back? And I was like, God, no, please don't give me that. And so I just focused on like, how do I feel? Like, how do I feel in my clothes? Do I have energy? Like, can I do the things I want to do? And then I bought my condo and the previous owner left a scale here.
Oh my gosh.
And I talked about this in therapy, and I was telling my therapist, like, I used to weigh myself every day. In college, I weighed myself multiple times a day thinking, like, well, maybe it'll change in, like, 2 hours. Maybe I will have lost that 10 pounds in 2 hours, you know.
Wishful thinking.
Things like that, yeah. And so I purposely, like, did not own a scale for a while because I knew that that was just triggered negative thoughts for me. But now having one in the house, it's under the bathroom counter, so it's not like in my face all the time. But it's still there. I know it's there. Every couple months I'll weigh myself just because, you know, if you ever go to the hospital, they're going to ask you how much you weigh. And like, I like to have a roundabout answer. And that's totally just my ER nurse brain being like, well, when they ask me how much I weigh, like, it's really annoying when people say, I don't know. Like, you have to have some sort of estimate. And if I don't have an estimate, like, I'm going to be that person. So that's more the thought that runs through my brain when I weigh myself now, which I feel like is much healthier than like, I need to know how much I weigh so I know if I need to lose weight. Like, I don't. Now I look at the number and I'm like, okay, like, I think I'm much better with it. There are those days where I, like I said last week, there was that day where I said, oh, I should weigh myself. And then I'm like, nope, today's not that day, because today I want to weigh myself because I know that it's going to be higher than I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And so on those days, I won't do it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think body image, to get back to your question. I end up on tangents. I'm sorry.
That's what we do here.
It's fine. I think in terms of body image, so for listeners, I was injured from August when I ran not my A race too hard and then had to miss my A race. So from August to November, I really didn't run. Like, I was biking, but it's not the same.
Not the same.
And I definitely struggled more with body image because I wasn't working out as much or as hard, and I couldn't. And so I think that's where running also plays a role, is like, if I'm exercising a lot, I'm like, look at what my body can do. That's so cool. But if I lose that, that's when it's hard. And I have to remind myself, like, this is temporary. Your body can still do crazy things, like, and you'll get back to it. But we have to get through this temporary stage. And now you're fueling to recover. And so it's just flipping it from, like, fueling to perform to fueling to recover.
Yeah. I love that, because people forget about that piece a lot. And just like you're saying, like, when you take the running away, whether it's for injury, burnout, whatever reason, or just like, you know, you're recovering from a race and you shouldn't run yet. People forget that you still need to eat enough and fuel. It's not a time to, like, scale back drastically just because you're not running.
Yeah, I think it's really hard because you're like, I don't feel like I'm burning these calories. Like, I'm just, and all the other things in food. Like, I'm just laying on the couch. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to eat as much. And we know that's not true. Your metabolism still stays up for a long time, and your body needs to, like, heal the torn muscle tissue and all of that. And so, yeah. And I, like I said earlier, I appreciate all the things that you talk about, because a lot of these things and a lot of the things that I tell myself and, like, basically mantras for eating are things that you have talked about on the podcast previously, and, like, nutrition episodes and things like that. I'm like, okay, I need to have this mindset. This is a much better, healthier mindset. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's definitely hard to change the mindset, especially when I feel like the leap is hard, because you can logically know, like, I need to eat more in order to perform better. But especially with all the messaging around there, it's like, if you're smaller, you'll perform better, which doesn't go with eating more. So you have to, like, kind of have that faith and be like, okay, I'm going to try this, see how I feel. And it can be hard to give into that. And actually try it out. So,
yeah, and it definitely works. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like become a joke. My friends I hung out with this weekend, one of them had bought me my favorite frozen Amy's pizza that's absolutely delicious. And so after our 10 and a half mile run / bushwhack / 40 in a river in the freezing cold, I was so excited for this pizza. And like, you know, some of those frozen pizzas are pretty small. Yeah. And I generally, like, I'll always say I'm going to save half of it and then I don't. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat this whole thing. And the next morning for breakfast, they're like, why don't you have your pizza? And I was staying at my friend's family cabin. Mm-hmm. And it was my friend Garrett and two of his guy friends. And so, like, I don't know, there's this whole stereotype that guys eat more.
Yeah.
And so one of them was like, have your frozen pizza for breakfast. And I was like, oh, no, that's gone. That was gone like 20 hours ago. Like, as soon as it was out of the oven, it was in my stomach. And they're like, wow, really? And I was like, I ran 10 and a half miles yesterday. You guys, what did you do? And so now I'll, like, if I go out to eat with my guy friends, I'm like, I'm going to eat more than you. Just FYI. It's fine. And they're like, okay, that's fine.
I like that.
Yeah.
It is funny how things can be so different for men, and like they're just expected to eat more and everything. And we do want to acknowledge men do struggle. We'll have an episode later. Yeah. Actually, a man is coming on, which I'm excited about. But yeah, I feel like once I started dating Ty and seeing how much he ate, I was just like, my mind is blown. And now it's like we order pizzas together. It's so funny. No matter how much I eat, he's like, good job. You made a good dent in that. And I just like don't care about how much I eat anymore. I'm just like, man, if he can eat a whole pizza, so can I if I want to. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny too, because I think back to college and being at Hofstra, and Kevin, who also worked at the gym with us, yeah, him and I had the Saturday night shift, mm-hmm, and him and I would order a cheese pizza from Napolini's every Saturday. And it started out like we could not finish it. We'd eat like half of it. And then, you know, that freshman 20 really helped, because by the end of the year, we could eat the whole pizza between two of us. Not really a great bragging point, but it was just like, yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to kind of think about the social norms of like what women are supposed to eat versus what men are supposed to eat and how much, and mm-hmm, who cares.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think of, I feel like with both of our stories, there was a certain point where a boy or man said something that negatively affected us. And then there are situations like eating pizza with Kevin or Ty that positively affect us, like around food and all of that stuff. So it's very interesting how it can go either way, if like depending on how the man responds.
Which is horrible.
Yeah.
But I will say, so yesterday on my Camp Muir adventure, mm-hmm, I was telling my friend Blake on the way up, I was like, you know, I remember like 6 or 7 years ago seeing girls skin up mountains like under the chairlift and thinking, wow, they're really cool. Like, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
And now I am doing that. And now I'm that cool person. And so I think, I don't know, just thinking about ourselves in that way versus like, how does my body look? Like, mm-hmm, am I doing what I want to do? Is my eating supporting that? That's, I don't know. I think that's how we need to think about it. Like, I never planned on being an ultra runner at all, or ever training for 100. No way. 4 years ago, if you told me that, I'd be like, you're crazy. You're so wrong.
Yeah.
But just focusing on things like that, like, I don't know, my body ran 50 miles last year. Like, that's not something that you can just do if you're not in shape or if like your body is not conditioned from like eating or something like that. Like, yeah, if I wasn't in shape, I wouldn't be able to do that. And so no matter how my body looks, like I need to be proud of what it can do versus how good it looks in my bathing suit or whatever.
Yeah. It was always
because nobody's ever going to be happy with that.
No, I feel like, I don't know about you because you live near water, but I haven't lived near water in so long. It's like I've put on a bathing suit like maybe twice in the past decade. And it was like something we all were so concerned about growing up. Like, how do I look in this bathing suit? And now it's like, when am I even going to put on a bathing suit?
I mean, I have a hot tub in my complex, so it's like,
oh, that's nice.
A couple times a week, probably.
That's fair.
And as long as nobody takes pictures, I don't care. But like, there are pictures from Patagonia where like, I still struggle with body image because I look at pictures from Patagonia and I'm like, oh, I'm not posting that one. So I think the bathing suit thing still is a factor. Most of the time, it's like, my friend has an inflatable hot tub in her garage. It's like the most thing ever. I love it. But we'll go in with her kids. And I'm like, I'm with, you know, my best friend and her two kids and nobody cares.
Yeah.
And so like in those situations, whatever.
Yeah.
I definitely don't let it stop me from doing things.
Yeah. So. I feel like that's the most important thing too. And it's like on some level, I feel like that's all you can ask for from recovery. Because like you said previously, it's, I think in my experience, obviously not for everyone, it's always like in the back of my head, like the thoughts, but it doesn't rule my life anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it ever fully goes away.
Yeah.
Like I think, I don't know, you look at our parents' generation, I'm sure they still struggle with it. They absolutely do. I mean, the number of diet books that are probably in our parents' homes, like it just, it's something that doesn't go away. And even the generations before them, like I cannot hold my grandma responsible for this comment because she had dementia at the time, and that's not fair. But you know, to an extent, she probably had these thoughts when she was with it. I remember her poking my stomach one day and saying, "You have rolls." And I was like, "Thanks, Grandma."
Oh my God.
So do you.
Yeah. So does like everyone.
And so it just, you know, it's something that's been passed down generation to generation. And I don't know where it stops because it's also on social media and it's also in the TV that we watched as kids and it's in the magazines you read. And like diet culture is such a big part of our society that I don't think you can just get away from like those thoughts and those ideas ever. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to like check back in 20 years when we're in our 50s. Maybe something will have changed in our brains.
Yeah. I mean, I think to an extent, like if you look at actresses on TV now, there has been a shift.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely more like positive body image stuff. I'm not like a big female rapper fan, but like Lizzo, for example, like she's very body positive, or Nicki Minaj, or I also just think of like growing up, my guy friends had such big crushes on like Kate Upton, who is technically a plus size model, even though she's large, but like she was like a size 8 or something.
Yeah.
And that was the girl that everybody had a crush on. So it wasn't even like the super skinny models. So where did we get this idea in our heads? But
yeah. I don't know. I feel like that would be an hours long conversation.
Truly was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 6-year-old me was already having these thoughts, which is just, where did 6-year-old me pick that up from? I have no idea.
I know. Yeah, I forgot to mention this in my episode, but I remember I was really young, maybe elementary school. I want to say like 5th grade. But I remember seeing like a Weight Watchers commercial. And I was like, oh, I can't wait till I'm an adult and I can join that. It's like, What fifth grader thinks that? But obviously,
that's
like,
so sad.
I know. Similar to you at six, it's like we picked up on something. It's like I don't look how I should look, and then you pick up on like how you change that.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty awful. I'm trying to think, like, I don't know, middle school, I don't know that I thought about it as much. I think it was like I just jumped from elementary to high school. I'm sure I did in middle school. I just, like, there wasn't anything that stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
I just really specifically remember, like, I had this purple velvet leotard with rhinestones.
Nice.
When I was in gymnastics.
Yeah.
And it was my absolute favorite. And I felt confident in that one because it was really pretty.
Obviously.
But, yeah. But any other one, like, forget about it. I just didn't look good compared to everyone else. I had to wear that one. And that was, like, my confident one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to mention or anything you'd like to leave the listeners with before we wrap up?
Trying to think of something intelligent. I don't know. I think I've already said it. Like, I think the best thing that people can do is, like, focus on the things that your body can do versus what your body looks like and what you're eating, because the human body is so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, like, unless you have a serious overeating issue, like, you're probably eating because your body needs it. And our bodies are designed to have some fat. Like, literally, you cannot reproduce, which is the whole purpose of species, biologically.
Yeah.
I know you don't want kids, but biologically, like, we are born to keep recreating.
Yeah.
And you can't do that if you're super, super, super thin. Like, our bodies are meant to have some build to them. And so I wish that we would just focus more on, like, the positives that our body can do versus, like, I don't look a certain way, because chances are, like, you know, if you're running 100 miles and you don't look like someone else running 100 miles, you still probably did very similar training and you might eat really similarly, and our bodies are all just different.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning to kind of accept that in whatever way you can, I think, is kind of the best that we can do.
Yeah, I agree. That was a great wrap up.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Erin, for coming on and sharing your story. I know it was not the most comfortable thing for you to do, so
it's okay, I
appreciate it. And I think, just like we've been saying this whole time, it's good to share. Hopefully it encourages other people to share. Like, you don't have to come on a podcast like we are, but talk to your friends, talk to your loved ones, you know.
Yeah. And I think telling some of my friends, like, they were surprised. They had no idea. And they're like, wait, what? You went through what? I'm so sorry that I didn't know this. I'm like, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
It's okay. And they probably also went through it, just like Kelly and I didn't know.
I know. Yeah, we had no idea. Did Jen know?
No.
Jen didn't know about me either.
Jen will find out from this.
I know.
Podcast.
Shout out to Jen. Jen was our friend in college. Also worked at the rec center.
Yeah. We'll hear it here first.
We're probably going to get, like, an angry text message.
Yeah, probably.
It's okay. We love you, Jen.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone wants to reach out to you or follow along with your great journey, because you are doing a lot of cool stuff athletically this year.
Thank you.
So where can they find you?
So I had to look at my Instagram because I don't know my handle. So my Instagram is ErinME91. So they can follow me there. It is private, but if you follow Kelly, I do look at that and I'm like, okay, you're probably not
a creep,
a dangerous person, hopefully.
Yeah, you can never
so you can
be
follow
too
me
careful.
There. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll link that in the show notes. But yeah, thanks again for coming on and sharing, Erin.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.